Okay, so welcome to episode 4 of the podcast. I actually have another guest today. We are here at the Grand Canyon in a little tent, which is pretty cozy, but tonight it was pretty cold. And my guest today is a really special guest I met while traveling. Actually, she messaged me on Instagram to hang out and travel together because we were in the same place, and she's also from Germany. So another German guest on the show. And her name is Anita Kleinschmidt, and I let her introduce herself, and we're going to talk about a little bit about traveling. And she's also a videographer, a female videographer, which is not that common. I think it's a lot of men are in the industry, so I think she will be a really interesting guest, and I'm looking forward to talking to her. So I let her introduce herself. Anita, let's go.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Sure.
I'm excited. This is actually your first podcast, so I'm a little bit nervous, but I hope I can give you a great insight and answer all your questions. So yeah, my name is Anita. I'm a freelance videographer, and I travel the world while working remotely. Yeah.
That's a good job for sure. And how did it come? Like, so you're working remotely as a videographer, and how did you get started?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the
Yeah, that's a question that I get asked a lot. So my story is a little bit different because I did not study videography or filmmaking. I studied in Heidelberg educational science and German philosophy, and started working at a company in HR, so nothing to do with videography. Yeah. And we had this one meeting where my boss wanted us to promote an event, and I had the idea to promote it via video, to create a video about it so more people would watch it. Because reading emails, yeah, you get a lot of emails, it's just not a good way to promote something. And he asked who was willing to do that, and I know that I love like being creative. So I raised my hand and said, I'm going to produce this video, but I had no experience. I had no idea how to use a camera. I had never used the editing software. So I just filmed on my phone, interviewed random people, shot some B-roll and put together this video. And doing this, I realized this is what I want to do. This is so much fun to me, and I love the whole process. And from there on, I was obsessed with videos. So I started to use every free minute that I have on watching YouTube tutorials, how to film, just getting out there, doing stuff, learning by doing, and getting better, yeah, as I go.
So you basically say you're coming from the corporate world,
yeah,
and just like, okay, I like video, and then you just were hooked when you did your first video. And then, so like you said, you learned a lot from like online because you didn't go to school. And that's also what I'm saying. You don't have to go like basically to film school to learn all this stuff. You can just online, there's so much resources that you could do. Like the previous guest, Patrizio, he took a filmmaking course, and that really changed his life from like taking an online course, which is a little bit of an investment. I think it was like $500, and then it is all packed, the information is all packed in one course. Mm-hmm. But you can also do it for free if you watch YouTube videos. I think it takes a little bit more time to find the stuff you really need. Yeah. But it's still possible, and I think also it's like the practice, like you just have to start doing it, right?
Learning by, yeah, doing, that's it. You have to make mistakes in order to get better.
Yeah. And then like, so what kind of jobs do you do? You mostly do like you do stuff for companies, and then you have a lot of clients all over the place, or do you have just one client, or mm-hmm, what kind of work do you do right,
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so I have one big client and then multiple smaller clients. So I do a lot for this one big client, and then I fill the rest of my time with other smaller projects.
Okay.
I mainly do image videos, learnings, trainings. But I also got into wedding videography lately, and try to do more travel content. Okay. And travel videos. So I try to explore different formats and different kinds of videos.
Yeah.
And I think that also helps you in, yeah, getting better at creating, yeah, videos.
For sure. So then how does this come together with your lifestyle? Because now you're traveling. Mm-hmm. So I did a, so I'm currently, as you, if you listen to the previous episode, I was on a road trip from Vancouver down the West Coast to LA. And then now we're at the Grand Canyon, which is a little bit more east. And Anita was, at the time, I posted something on Instagram and I think she saw it. Mm-hmm. And because she was also in the area, so she recommended me some stuff where I could go. And then she said, okay, like, I'm also going to Arizona and then we could meet up and like travel a little bit together. So how is that possible for, like, with your job? Like, how do you, like, do your job and then travel at the mm-hmm. same time? How is that possible?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to be able to do this. So I'm so glad. Of course, sometimes it's not that easy because when you're traveling, sometimes you do not have internet, like here.
Yeah.
Or you also want to go places, see things, obviously, if you're on the road. And you have to try to find a good balance so you can get your jobs done and at the same time enjoy traveling. I think it just takes a while to really get into this lifestyle, but once you get a hang of it,
And you told me because you're working for that German company and you're doing a lot of work for them for the video stuff. And you told me in the beginning that you were kind of nervous to even tell them that you were traveling because she didn't know how, like, they might react, or it's mm-hmm. like kind of weird if she, and then she, because like the time difference to, it's a German company, so the time difference mm-hmm. is 9 hours. So you told me that you had to log in at the middle of the night to, like, that they didn't realize that you were all, like, abroad or something.
Yeah, the first time was crazy, honestly. When I started traveling, I didn't want to tell my clients that I'm not in Germany. So I would get on these late calls in the middle of the night, work during the night, and then go see things and do stuff during the day. So I pretty much did not sleep for an entire month, which was crazy. But then once I told them, the reaction was actually super positive. They were like, oh my God, it's so cool that you're doing this. And they're really supportive now and trying to make calls, and so it fits my time zone where I'm right now.
That's
so
awesome. I think that's a lot of people start, like, ask, is it possible to travel, how do you make money by traveling? You can have, like, a normal job, like, you work for, like, a company. I mean, you working freelance now, or are you employed for them?
No, I'm freelance 100%,
so they contract her out and she just works. She does this work for that one big client and she just travels around. And then sometimes you just have to make time. Like 2 days ago, I think you were on a call. I was already sleeping, but she was on a call at like 12 our time. So you have to call them and like coordinate something.
Yeah.
Because like now you're mainly doing editing work for them because you can't shoot from here, right?
Exactly, yeah. Well, not for only for this one client, but also for my other clients.
Yeah.
They just... Oh my God.
Okay, we have to take a little break here. The camera just fell over.
Well, that's outtakes.
I'm just gonna like let it roll. For the people who listen on Spotify.
Oh my God.
The camera just fell over because it's pretty windy in the tent here.
Okay. I think I have to clean this up now.
Okay, it might take a little, so we might just take a little cut here. Okay, we are back. The camera is rolling again. The wind just hit it. The wind was hitting the tent so hard, and the camera is actually really close to the tent, and it just like tripped it over. And luckily, nothing broke. But yeah, we were at shooting with clients remotely. So we're talking about, like, you're just editing for the clients right now, right?
Yeah,
so,
right now I'm just doing post production.
Yeah,
I miss filming actually, but. Now I film my travels, so yeah, that balances it out.
Okay, that's cool. And have you like, so like the clients, do you, when you have that one client, are you like a little bit nervous that once, like, if you don't have that client anymore, you can't do that, like the traveling and videography lifestyle anymore? Or like, because you told me you have one bigger client, and are you a little bit worried if that client doesn't want to work with you anymore for some reason, or they don't need video work? Are you like a little scared that like you run out of money or something, or is that something you don't think about?
That's a really good question. Well, actually, I'm not, because I know the skill set I have. Mm-hmm. I know that if for some reason this client doesn't need me anymore, I will find other clients. Okay. For sure. So yeah, my skill set gives me kind of security, but I know that it's hard to think that way. And I do understand if some people who are in this situation are afraid to lose this one client. But I think no matter what happens, if you lose that client, you will find other ways to make money and other clients. So I try to not stress about it and just enjoy the situation right now, and that I'm in that situation. And yeah, just.
And because you're traveling, people would assume that you're like spending a lot of money because you're traveling. And then like, would you have like, if you would have lost that client, would you have like some savings that you could, like you so you don't spend all the money you make on like the travel, like on your travels, right? Because you're like, so like, so that comes to the next part, like how does it, like for traveling, do you travel really minimalistic, or like since when do you travel, like now, like you
So I started traveling 2019. I went to Asia for 4 months.
And at that time, did you have like the fixed job, or did you quit already? And do
well, that was the time where before I started traveling, or when I finished my studies, I was employed at this one company in Germany, which was a really good employer, actually the best employer in Germany, and had a really secure job. But I just started to realize that I'm not good at being employed, because I need more freedom. I want to work for myself and on my own project. So I quit that job, and everyone called me crazy because it was a really secure job and a really good job.
And was it a little scary for you, or?
Yeah, it was. It took me a while to actually do it. But I think you have to take risks for things you want to do and want to achieve in life. And that's all I do. I take the risks if I want something. And so there was no other option for me. I knew I had to do that. And I never looked back. That was the right decision. So I quit that job. And I wasn't self-employed at that point. I just packed my bags, sold everything I have, and went to Asia. Nice. Booked a one-way ticket to Nepal. And I was traveling Asia for 4 months. But then COVID hit.
And so, sorry, were you working at the time, or was it just vacation, take a little break from your job?
That was just taking a break, figuring out what I want to do. I always knew I started filming and taking photos during my travels back then already, because that's just what I love the most.
Sorry to interrupt, but at the previous job, because you said you had like a normal job, were you doing the video work there already, or like were you doing videos for the company, or just like in your regular job?
You mean when I started my travels?
Before you quit.
Before I quit, I was employed. That was a regular job. And
but
I did
you do like video work there?
Yeah. I already did video work for about 2 years for that company. Okay. Yeah. And that's how I learned everything, right? Yeah. So within these 2 years, I improved my skill set. And then I was at a point where I said, okay, I know enough to be able to make money out of this. I want to be.
So the company, like before you started out as like a normal, like in your business kind of environment, and then the company kind of created a new role for the video person, and then you kind of jumped into it, and then you learned from there, kind of.
Well, I created that role.
As
I said, I started with this one video and they really liked it. So for the next event, my boss was like, hey, Anita, can you create this video again? And so I grew into this role, and they ended up like having me then. They really supported me because they saw I have talent in it, I guess. And then at some point I was just there for videos and was a videographer at that company, although I didn't start.
Then you quit after. Yeah. Okay. So then you went traveling to Asia. And then at the one point you realize, oh, I have to make money again, probably. And then what was after, like, you finished your travels? Like, what was the process there?
Well, I didn't want to finish my travels, but traveling through countries like Nepal and Sri Lanka, where the healthcare is not that good, and then COVID hit.
Oh, okay.
And the world was going crazy. I was in Singapore at this time, and everyone was just going crazy and telling me I should go home. Although I didn't want to, I went back to Germany. Mm-hmm. I thought it's just going to be for a few months until COVID ends, but it ended up being 2 years. But within these...
Camera almost fell again.
Oh no.
Pull it a little closer.
Yeah, even closer. Can you hold this for a sec?
Yeah. This is, sorry guys, this is not like the ideal setup for like filming.
Good that you saw it.
I think it's like, I think now we have to move the camera a little closer, so we have to, you have to come a little closer to me and then we just frame the other.
Yeah.
We don't want the camera to like break.
Okay. Oh, we're getting cozy.
Yeah. For the sake of the video.
Okay? Yeah, I think.
I mean, I can even come over a little bit because I'm a little bit outside the frame. There we go.
Okay.
So like after COVID hit, you went back to Germany. And then what would you do there? Like, you didn't have a job, right?
Yeah. That's when I started my freelance business then. Because I knew I don't want to be employed again. And yeah, I started to get clients. I got some clients. And then actually the company I worked for before reached out to me and wanted to hire me again. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this, but I can work for you as a freelancer. Now this company is, one of my biggest clients.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you decided you don't want to work for any company again, so you want to go freelance. Like, you just don't like the authority or?
Good question. I just like the freedom of deciding which project I want to work on and I want to spend my time on. And yeah, just the freedom and knowing that I can always say no. Mm-hmm. I have the control I know I can structure my day, my time. Yeah.
And then like you decided to go to the US after when did you arrive here? Like 2 months ago, you said?
Yeah, I've been here almost 3 months now, traveling the US. Yeah.
And then you're working at the same time, right? And you said like sometimes in the beginning it was hard to, you didn't really want to tell your company because she didn't know how they react. But is it hard to work on like if you're traveling? Because when I travel, I usually finish everything before and then I just go traveling for a bit and then I do my social media work and I don't do like client work really. I'm just doing something for like social media videos because I need like a place to edit and stuff like that. I find it annoying on the road, but maybe you're different. Do you find it hard when you're staying in hostels or like in Airbnbs or something? Do you find it hard to work from there or?
I try to plan if I know I have a big project, I need to spend a lot of time editing. Mm. I'm gonna book a co-working space.
Okay.
So that's what I did in San Francisco, for example. Mm. And sometimes if I know it's minor projects where I'm not, where I don't have to spend a lot of time editing, I can do this from anywhere, basically.
Okay.
You get used to it, I think.
Okay. I can't really work while I'm traveling. I don't like that. So I usually finish all my projects at home and then I go there for like, I go traveling for a week or two. And then I do all my social media work, like, cause I shoot videos and then I also do social media stuff. So I have the balance of both, which is nice. And then I wanted to ask you like about the solo travel, cause you're a female solo traveler and I get a lot of messages about, you're doing a solo trip, like you can't do that because you're a man. And I tell the people I know a lot of females that go on like solo trips. So do you find it like scary like to be a solo female traveler, or do you don't have any problems with that, or do you have any advice for people that want to do it or that are scared?
It really depends on the country, I guess. You're traveling solo, so there were a few situations. It's different if you travel in Nepal as a woman alone or the US. I think you can make yourself feel comfortable even in such countries like Sri Lanka, Nepal I've been to, if you just try to, for example, we talked about this, try to fit in. So what I do when I traveled through these countries, Nepal and Sri Lanka, I would, for example, look up the way if I want to go from A to B. I would try to remember the map on Google Maps. So yeah. If I have to get there, I'm not walking.
Because you don't want to be the tourist.
Yeah, because this makes you more of a target.
Yeah.
If you're kind of lost, always looking on your phone, where do you have to go next? So I would just walk there. I remembered the way as if I would walk there like every single day. And yeah. I know I fit here and I like belong there. And that's a level of confidence then other people see in you, and then they won't see you as a
especially
as a target,
if you go to the countries where there's like, because you're like a blonde girl that is pretty tall, so you kind of stick out already in countries where there's not many blonde people. I had a friend that went to Mexico, and she actually went there also by herself, and she dyed her hair black so she wouldn't stick out as much. But yeah, I feel like, yeah, if you dress, like, you don't have to like make such an appearance. And also like in the States, I feel like it's a little bit more, because a lot of people look like you kind of, so you don't stick out as much as a tourist, and you're not as easy like of a target to like scammers or something or other people. Mm-hmm. Or do you find that in the US it's pretty chill to travel? Or?
Yeah, it's so chill. Mm-hmm. I feel so comfortable because people don't see that I'm not from here.
Yeah.
And so far, I've met only really nice people here in the US. Mm. I really love the culture. They're so open and friendly and, yeah, willing to help.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I love it.
Like, so did you have any, like, did you, in your travels, did you have any, like, situations where you kind of got a little scared or, like, was a little weird in some places?
There was one situation in... in Bangkok, where I've been to a temple, and I had my camera with me and taking photos. I was alone there, and then I had someone following me after that.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was, yeah. So that was a nice feeling.
Did you escape then, or like what did you do then?
I mean, that was in the middle of Bangkok, so it was, there were people around everywhere. I think, yeah, this guy just... was waiting for me to like walk through a street that's not too crowded.
Yeah.
No. So I then I saw a police officer standing there at the road, and then I talked to him and told him this guy is following me since about 10 minutes and he's getting like closer, so I'm a little bit afraid. And then the police officer was super nice and was like, okay, take your time, we'll get you a taxi and then go to
that's
your
good.
Hostel.
I mean, when you were like, I also was in Thailand, and nothing against Thailand, but I was also, I really am good and not getting into scams. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it was a scam, but I read something on the internet. So we went to this temple, and then a guy picked us up with these tuk-tuks, and he said, okay, today is like the biggest sale of the year for suits, like for like it's the soft, like the, you know, the high quality suit out of silk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, do I need a suit? Oh, maybe. And then he just drove us to all the temples first for free, like, kind of like basically for free. And then he stopped at this shop where you can buy the suit. And he had actually, like, there was in the shop, there was like a picture of a really famous German football player at there with like photoshopped, obviously. But I didn't, at the time, I didn't like look too closely, but I didn't realize. And then, yeah, all these things happened. There was like this banker stopped. Accidentally and told us about this suit sale and something. It's kind of like this was a whole scheme there. And then I actually bought a suit because it kind of looked nice. Mm-hmm. And then I went to this ATM with someone, and some person went with me, and I paid them in cash up front, and then we just left. And then I was like, okay, like I just paid someone like for my suit, and then I don't even know where the shop is. And then I was like waiting, and we went back to Germany and was waiting for like 2 or 3 weeks for like over a month. The suit didn't come. Mm. It's like, shit, like I'm not going to see that again. And I looked online and I saw the exact story that happened to us.
Oh,
like
no.
The banker telling people about the suit sale, and then the guy driving around to see like all the sites there. And I was like, oh my God, this is such a scam. But then actually the suit arrived. And I mean, it was a little, it was like, it fit well, but I don't know if it's silk, But at least I didn't get scammed all the way, but I think it was also like a little like, I don't know if it's silk, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's probably not.
But yeah, I feel like it also like some nice experience that you, I mean, you can tell people about in a podcast, for example. But yeah, so a lot of people ask me like, how do you meet people? Because when you travel alone, do you find it easy to meet people on the way, or is it hard for you to meet other people? Because I, when I'm on the road trip, it's kind of hard. Like it depends how you travel. Like on the road trip, if you're just sleeping in the car, and I'm driving a lot actually, so I can't meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
But depends where you're staying. I always tell people staying in hostels is a good thing to meet people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You meet a lot. That's what I do usually. I stay in hostels if I want to meet people, if I feel like socializing, if I feel like I need more time to myself and spend more time working, I'll just rent an Airbnb or go to a hotel, just depending on what I need right now. And yeah, I've met so many people just through, I think the best way is just be open, be kind, be nice, be interested in someone else's story. And then you find connections with every person.
Mm.
And that's how I meet people.
Also, you told me about that when you come to the States, you doing these challenges now, and then so like what Anita did is she just went to, she, you have to things, for example, if you're interested in hiking, you just go out, find like maybe like a hiking group somewhere. She wanted to try out dancing. So I think you can tell about that story, like how you meet people there.
Yeah, this is the basic, or the base, how I meet people is just doing the things I want to do. And then you automatically connect to people who are interested in the same thing. So what I do right now, or started, is setting myself 30-day challenges during my travels. And the challenge for the first month in the US was learn how to dance bachata in 30 days. So I came to Miami and stayed near to Little Havana, which is a great place because it's influenced by the Latin American culture. There's a lot of dancing schools. And I went there, joined classes, went social dancing. I met so many people in the dance community there, so that I just connected to so many people and made great friends. And it was a great month, a great challenge. And
that's really cool.
I'm about to hop on the next challenge soon.
Okay, we'll hear about that later. But then you told me like you met some friends there, and then you went to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stayed with them, so it's kind of like a network you kind of create. And then you see them, you meet them again, and then they can help you out, and you stayed at someone's place, which was apparently a real nice place, for like 10 days. And then you
make the place.
Yeah, and then you celebrate the birthday there.
Yeah.
So I think when you want to meet people like while traveling, you really have to like do what you interested in, and then just go out there. And then it depends where you are. Like in the US, people are really open and friendly. A lot of people say they're a little bit on the surface, kind of, but they're really friendly. But you can make a lot of friends here. Last night, actually, we went to get some dinner, and then we just sat down, and then a group of girls walked over, and they just like started talking to us right away. So I feel like it's depending where you are. If you're not sleeping in a car like me, and just like leave in the morning and then just drive on, it's easy to make friends if you stay even in like campgrounds here. Like this is a campground, you can. And then you said, I was actually like in the car warming up, and you were at the fire and meeting also some other people, right?
On Facebook, try to join groups, travel groups, for example. Just make a post, hey, I'm here, I'm traveling there, who wants to meet up? Or I'm sure there are apps too, where you can connect to other travelers. I'm just thinking of ways right now how to meet people. Instagram.
Like,
but you're the first. I've never done this, so he's the first one I reached out on Instagram to. But yeah, we ended up traveling together now, and it's cool.
It's like, for me, it's a little bit different because I got some people messaged me and they want to like hang out or like show me some stuff, which is like a really convenient situation where people message me and want to show me stuff, which is really great. And then I also, when I'm in Vancouver, a lot of people want to like hang out and just go hiking there. And I feel like this is a good way to connect with people. I would say like my friend Alex, she messaged me back in Vancouver, and she wanted to, because she didn't know me, she just messaged me on Instagram, same like you, mm-hmm. and she just wanted to like go hiking and stuff like that. But then she didn't have any information about me, so she wanted like my my address, my phone number, like my license plate for the car. I feel like you just like said, okay, pick me up here. It was kind of on the way where I'm going anyways, but you didn't have any like security or something. Like you
I
just went
send your contact to my friend.
Okay, so like
and I have to text her every day to make sure I'm okay.
Okay, so like don't go with any stranger like in the car or something. But that's really brave. I think feel like a lot of people don't want to do that, go in the car with a stranger.
I think I have a good intuition about people, so I can tell even if I see a picture somehow if that's someone I would get along with and I can trust. And I mean, obviously I saw a lot of pictures and stories from you on Instagram, so I felt like
could be fake though, like
like what
could be fake though. No, I don't
well
know.
Yeah, but that would be crazy though.
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like this is a good way, like if you want to meet up with people, there's also like yeah, as you said, Facebook groups, or if you want to meet up with someone that like is in the area, you can just message them on Instagram. A lot of people maybe don't want to do that, but a lot of people are also really open nowadays to meet up with other people if they have time. And I was like, actually, because I don't really meet up with a lot of people if it's like out of my way. But with you, it worked out because you also wanted to do the same stuff as me. And I was kind of like on the way there anyway. So, and then I just kick you out at one point.
Oh, wow. I'm gonna have to make my way back through the desert.
Yeah. No, I think... I think you want to like work at some farm, right? Like after this. Like,
yeah, that's going to be my next challenge for a month, because I want to experience the real cowgirl lifestyle for a month and learn how to horseback ride.
Okay.
So I'm trying right now to figure out which farm would be best and where I can stay for a month. And have that experience.
Are you doing that also like online, or how do you find those places?
Yeah, also just I thought of ways, how do I find such a farm? Obviously I started Googling, I started calling some or sending emails, but I didn't find one that really fits what I'm looking for. So I thought, okay, what's the next step? What I should do next? And then I just joined Facebook groups, Arizona horse riding Facebook groups, made posts there, and then a lot of people reached out to me, and I hope that through that now I can find a good fit.
Yeah. And then you got a message from like a lonely farmer or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that's like something like I think she got a message from someone who lives alone at the farm. Just want to be careful about stuff like that. Maybe he's a nice guy, maybe not, but it's just if you on the road by yourself, you just have to be like extra cautious.
You have to be aware, cautious. Don't do anything you don't feel comfortable with. Just try to, I don't know.
I feel like it's a good way. You have to be, especially as a woman, you have to like be a little bit more prepared. I never had any in my travels, never had any situations where I'm like super, it was super sketchy, but because I'm also like paying attention to like, could that be like a weird thing to do or something like that. So you always have to be extra cautious, but I think, it's a good way. What else haven't we talked about? I feel like, you as a woman in like the film industry, is that something that, because I don't know, I know some people that work as a videographer that are female, but do you get any, like, I would say, like, some people are still, like, I don't feel like way, but I heard some people say, oh, you're a woman, you can't do that. Have you ever experienced something like that? Or is it more like the opposite, that they really, we want to have you as a woman because you want to have because now it gets better because it's a male domain, I would say, like the videography industry. But now it kind of gets better because I saw some job postings that specifically want the female person to shoot the video, so I feel like that's an improvement. And also, like, what's your experience with that kind of stuff?
By the way, I always have to look down on my mic so to make sure it's still running. That's why I always have to, I never felt like I have a disadvantage in that industry because I'm a woman. It's the opposite, as you said. For example, there's one job I got where we produced one episode for a TV series where they actually hired me because I was a woman, because they wanted to support women in the film industry. Mm. Yeah. Also working with other teams, I feel like they want women on their teams because the most successful teams are teams that are most diverse.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe some skills that I have as a female videographer will complement skills that a male videographer has really well.
Yeah.
So I think this is the best team, actually.
I always, like, when I shoot, I just shot this commercial for, like, this a beauty commercial kind of. And I'm so bad at, like, picking the clothes and stuff like that. I don't have any idea about the makeup. Mm-hmm. I just see, like, okay, that kind of looks good, but I don't know, like, what to change, kind of. So it's always good to have female, like, I had a lot of, like, actually, like, I all had all female crew. Like, I was the only man there. And all the other people were female, like, the makeup artist, obviously, there's a lot of female makeup artists. but then, like, the photographer, Sierra, she's a female, and then all the PAs were all female, so it was good for the beauty commercial because they know, like, what looks good on a woman. It's like a female beauty shoot, so they have way more experience with looks good than I do. So it was a good complementary skill set, and maybe I know some stuff about, like, the lighting where they don't know. So it's kind of like it's complementing the skills, kind of.
For
so
sure.
Which is also, you said, told about, like, if you're doing shooting wedding videos, the guy will maybe know more about, like, what the groom knows, like the bros, they're drinking their beers at those shots, kind of like that. And then if you're a woman, you probably know more about, like, how the dress looks or the hair looks.
Yeah, the bride's makeup.
Yeah.
You can make her feel more comfortable because she knows, okay, you're a woman too. You will make sure the dress looks nice and her makeup is cool. And
It's got to be like a team. Like, but have you ever, like, because now you're working by yourself, have you ever, like, thinking of, like, joining a team or, like, hiring someone? Because now you're just doing these videos for, like, this company, right? So is that your goal, or do you have something else in mind? Is that your ultimate goal in videography that you...
No. I don't
always work on projects alone. If I can handle a project alone, I am a one-woman production. But if I need someone else because it's a bigger project, I will hire freelancers or collaborate with freelancers. That's what we did for a project last year. We were a film team of 8 people.
Mm.
So I'm not always working alone, but... what was the other question?
Yeah, if you have any, I actually am zoned out now. I was thinking about the next question already. Okay, well, let's continue. Because the other question I wanted to ask is, have you worked on, like, other, like, oh,
my
what
goal.
Was your ultimate goal? That was it,
I feel like, after a while of creating one, like, specific, or working one niche, a videography niche, I kind of want to move on to another style of video. So, I've worked a lot on corporate videos, then I tried wedding videos, and now I want to move more in the direction of travel content and travel filmmaking, because that's what I think is my biggest passion and what's the most, like, the biggest fan factor for me, creating those videos, like, and sharing more of my story.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever I talk to people during my travels, they're so impressed and always say, oh my god, you're such an inspiration with what you do. I don't feel that way. I have a different perspective on it, but seeing other people admiring what I do and that I can inspire them, makes me think of to share more of my story. And
That's awesome. You should for sure do that. I mean, and then, like, when you want to do that, is that something that's easy for you? Because you told me you always wanted to start, but you don't have the time because you have the other job. So you think you you have to quit your other job to like, or like to get less of that client.
I need more time. Yeah, I would have wanted more time to work on my travel content. So that's one point that I still have to figure out.
But I think you just have to like, you just have to start, and then it comes from yourself.
As and then also, so I think you, it looks so easy when you do it. So he like talks to his phone.
Yeah, it's practice. Like you just have here, to do.
There, doing this, and it looks so natural. You're so authentic. And I, whenever I try to do a story, it takes me 20 takes to get one straight sentence.
It's like if you just have to like start doing it. And it takes a little bit of practice. Mm-hmm. Also, when I do record my YouTube videos, sometimes I have to like redo it over and over again. Because when I just say like, "Oh, we are here in the Grand Canyon," blah blah blah, it's pretty easy stuff. But sometimes when I have to explain something, oh, it takes me a few takes, and then I get so frustrated because then I have to like cut it together, and then it's like,
good to know that I'm not the only one.
No, for sure not. Like everybody does that, but if you just wanna, I feel like also with my YouTube videos, I just have to start doing it, and then you once you get better and better, once you do it more often. But it's just if, like the initial start is kind of the hardest, but you just have to go for it.
Yeah, and also not feeling like, embarrassed to talk to your phone or camera with other people because as you said, sometimes people walk away if you're with friends and you're starting to.
Yeah, for sure they do that. Like, is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything we haven't touched on in your journey or in your? Can you think about something? I can't
think of anything right now, but what I want to say is that I would love to see more women in the filmmaking industry. Yeah. So I encourage you.
Yeah, for sure.
To just go for it, and because I feel women might be afraid of the technical part of filmmaking because there's a lot to know. Yeah. Maybe even more than in photography, or it's
just different. Yeah. You have to know more stuff. Like I would say, like making videos a little bit more complicated than shooting just photos.
Yeah. It's kind of more complex, but.
But also like women are like, because in video work, like storytelling is really important, and women are like really good storytellers. Like that's like another aspect of it. But like the camera stuff, you just have to like, as you said, like there's so many stuff out there, the YouTube videos that explain it really easy, so you can just like go for it. I think.
Or even reach out to me. I'm happy to.
Where can they reach out to you? Like we have to like, what's your Instagram like?
My Instagram is let's_do_this_Annie.
Okay, so if you're interested and you're a female videographer or want to be a female videographer, you can reach out to.
To ask me any questions.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to support, and because I had a mentor, a really good mentor too when I started, and I'm happy to give.
Oh yeah, and I just realized you started flying FPV drones as well. And I feel like that's also like a lot of male people do that, and I don't anyone who. This is a female who does.
Me neither, because I'm in this group in Germany of, we're 50, I think, people, and I'm the only woman in this FPV group. But I don't know, I just love all that stuff.
Yeah.
Filmmaking, drones, FPV, cameras.
That's computer, awesome.
That's just my thing, so.
That's really cool. I haven't tried FPV, and it looks really like, I think it's a hot, like a learning curve for sure.
So hard. I'm still very, I mean, I can fly, but I for sure can be better.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want to reach out to her to get some information about videography or even about solo traveling, that's like, because she, like, I think you went, like, did you travel with anybody, like, during the, because you came here by yourself, right? Yeah. And then also to Asia, you went by yourself, right? So I think she has some tips what you can do to, like, not be afraid of it too much. Were you scared at the beginning that to go alone, or, like, when you first did it?
Maybe I was super, conscious at the beginning. What was kind of stressful also, I'm not gonna lie, because it's, but you get used to it after a while, and then you feel more relaxed because you know what to pay attention to. It's also a learning curve, I guess. But for sure, I was a little bit scared at the beginning.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it also helps, like, if you start to go on, like, a solo trip, maybe just book all the accommodation in advance that you feel a little bit more secure. And then, yeah, as I would say, always like stay at some hostels, because there's also like a lot of people go to hostels by themselves also, and then you just meet a lot of people there. Like when I first came to Canada, I was staying at this hostel downtown, and there were so many people there. And then you just sit down, and then somebody comes up to your table because they also be by yourself, and they just want to have breakfast, and you just start getting talking. And also, what is a really good thing, important thing, you just have to like ask them like a simple question. Like if you're nervous about meeting someone, just ask them like a simple question, and it goes really from there. Like if you just, for example, like the girls, they came up to us and like, where are you from, or what's your name? So it's just a really simple question, and then they're usually really like open, because I feel like if you make that first step towards a person, and then once you break the barrier like in talking to them, it's really easy to make friends there. Like, so it's just, I feel like it's just asking like a simple question, and then you,
Step out of your comfort
yeah.
zone and just, with whatever you want to, or whatever scares you, just do it.
Yeah.
Because the things that scare you the most, those are, the things that will make you learn the most and
Yeah.
grow the most.
Yeah. All right. If you don't have anything else,
Well, I mean, I could only say, like, if you have any cool travels planned, like, if you're a girl and you don't want to go alone, have any cool travels planned, and it aligns with my travel plans, of course, feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to have
for
some
sure.
female energy in my travels. And also, if you love photography and videography, obviously.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, I can say that Anita is a really chill travel partner so far.
Thank you.
We only like, how long in the road? Like 2 nights, 3 nights.
Yeah,
Two
two
nights ago,
nights.
we slept at like this kind of weird Airbnb, but it was still nice. And I'm
It
not
was
to the.
unique, I'd
Today
say.
was a little bit like cold tonight, but it was pretty chill. I don't like people that are stressing too much, and Anita is a really good travel partner. So if you want to travel with Anita, if you're a female, and you're also interested in learning video, it's a good place to reach out to her. So yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so thanks for being on the show. This is the fourth podcast. I'm really proud of myself to that I go with the flow and not skip any week.
Yeah, you can be. This is impressive because we're on the go, we're traveling right now,
Yeah.
but you still,
Yeah, and
keep
this
your
is a
schedule.
longer episode. I think we are
Oh,
recording for
really?
like almost 50 minutes now, which is perfect. Yeah. So yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. And yeah, the next one is coming up next week, next Sunday. This one is coming up this Sunday, and then next one I will be back in Vancouver, and I'm gonna record something else. It's probably gonna be another solo one, because I don't have to invite some more guests back then. But it worked out perfectly with Anita. So, yeah, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
Okay.
I hope you got something out of
For sure,
it.
for sure. Okay, guys, until the next one. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.